Ever wondered why cities keep growing while companies and organisms eventually die?
Or why elephants live longer than mice?
Jeffrey West's groundbreaking work Scale might be the most important book you haven't read yet.
This intellectual tour de force has earned praise from Bill Gates, who called it one of the most exciting books I've read, and has become required reading at forward-thinking organizations like Google and Amazon.
West, a theoretical physicist who pivoted from studying elementary particles to complex systems, delivers a revolutionary framework for understanding everything from metabolism to urbanization through the lens of scaling laws.
In a world increasingly concerned with sustainability and growth limits, West's insights couldn't be more timely, revealing the mathematical patterns that govern life itself and the systems we've built around it.
At first glance, the diversity of life seems overwhelming, from microscopic bacteria weighing less than a trillionth of a gram to majestic blue whales at 100 million grams, with lifespans ranging from mere hours to centuries. Yet beneath this extraordinary complexity lie remarkable regularities that point to fundamental laws of nature. When scientists plot metabolic rates against body mass on logarithmic scales, they don't see random scatter, but clear, straight lines, power laws that reveal deep organizing principles governing all life forms. These scaling laws demonstrate that as animals increase in size, they become dramatically more efficient in their energy use. A cow weighing 10,000 times more than a mouse requires only 1,000 times more energy, following a three-quarter power law, where metabolic rate scales to the three-quarters power of mass. This creates profound economies of scale in nature. Each time an animal doubles in size, it needs only 75% more energy per unit mass, not 100%, a 25% savings with each doubling. This efficiency extends across species, from tiny shrews to massive elephants, suggesting a universal principle of biological design. This pattern, known as Cliver's Law, applies across virtually all life forms and extends to countless other biological parameters. Heart rate, growth rate, blood circulation time, and lifespan all follow predictable quarter power scaling laws. A mouse heart beats about 500 times per minute, while an elephant's beats only 30 times, perfectly matching the mathematical predictions. Even more surprisingly, these same mathematical patterns appear in human-created systems, like cities and companies. Cities show consistent scaling in everything from the number of gas stations to average walking speeds, suggesting universal principles governing complex systems regardless of their origin.
These scaling laws reveal profound truths about mortality, sustainability, and growth limits. They explain why larger animals live longer. Elephant cells metabolize at 1/10 the rate of mouse cells, leading to lifespans of 60-plus years compared to a mouse's 2 to 3 years. They illuminate why mammals can't be smaller than a few grams. Their circulatory systems would become hopelessly inefficient. And why there's an upper size limit for land animals. Their legs would literally collapse under their weight. The same mathematical principles help explain why companies eventually stagnate, while cities seem immortal. They follow different scaling laws, with cities showing superlinear scaling that promotes ongoing growth and innovation. These insights have profound implications for our urbanizing world, from urban planning to sustainability efforts. The universality of these mathematical relationships extends even to plants, which follow similar scaling laws in their branching patterns, nutrient distribution, and growth rates. This suggests that evolution has repeatedly discovered and optimized these fundamental principles across vastly different forms of life. Understanding these mathematical underpinnings helps us predict everything from extinction risks to the limits of biological engineering, offering crucial insights for conservation, medicine, and urban development.
What causes these universal scaling patterns? The answer lies in the fractal-like networks that distribute energy and resources throughout organisms and cities.
Whether examining blood vessels in mammals, vascular systems in plants, or road networks in urban areas, we find remarkably similar geometric principles at work. Three fundamental properties characterize these networks. First, they're space-filling, meaning we must reach every part of the organism or city they serve. Second, they have invariant terminal units. The smallest branches, like capillaries or residential streets, remain approximately the same size, regardless of the system's overall scale. Third, they're optimized through natural selection or social dynamics to minimize energy expenditure. These properties create fractal-like structures that maximize surface area within limited volumes. Your lungs, if unfolded, would cover a tennis court. Your blood vessels, if laid end-to-end, would stretch 100,000 kilometers. This remarkable space-filling efficiency explains why metabolic rates scale with the 3/4 power of mass rather than linearly. Organisms effectively operate in four dimensions rather than three, with the additional dimension emerging from the fractal nature of their networks.
The mathematics becomes even more fascinating when we examine blood flow. Our circulatory systems use area-preserving branching, where daughter vessels have a combined cross-sectional area equal to the parent vessel, to prevent energy-wasting wave reflections. This same principle appears in electrical engineering as impedance matching, the concept used in everything from stereo speakers to ultrasound machines to ensure efficient energy transfer. Even more remarkably, plants and trees follow these same network principles, despite lacking hearts. Leonardo da Vinci first noted that a tree trunk's cross-sectional area equals the sum of all its branches' areas, a principle now understood as part of the same universal scaling framework. This explains why plants and mammals, despite their vastly different designs, follow identical metabolic scaling laws. They've independently evolved optimal solutions to the same mathematical problem of resource distribution.
Life exists not just in three spatial dimensions, but in a fourth, time, manifested through growth, aging, and death. The network theory provides a comprehensive framework for understanding these fundamental biological processes through the precise allocation of metabolic energy between maintenance and growth, offering insights into why organisms grow to specific sizes and why they age at different rates. When organisms consume food, the energy is systematically distributed through intricate networks to reach individual cells. This distribution follows a hierarchical pattern, similar to how cities distribute resources through branching infrastructure. At the cellular level, this energy faces a critical split. It either maintains existing structures or fuels the creation of new cells. This allocation becomes increasingly complex as organisms grow larger, creating a fundamental constraint on size. The mathematics of scaling reveals a crucial mismatch between energy supply and maintenance demands. When an animal doubles in size, its maintenance requirements double linearly, 2x, but its metabolic rate increases by only a factor of 2 3/4 equals 1.68, following Kleber's law. This creates an inevitable bottleneck. At some point, the energy required for maintenance consumes all available resources, establishing a natural ceiling for growth. This explains why species have characteristic maximum sizes, from tiny shrews to massive blue whales.
The same energetic principles govern aging and mortality. Cellular damage accumulates through multiple mechanisms: mechanical stress from blood flow, oxidative damage from free radicals, particularly in mitochondria, protein misfolding, and DNA mutations. While organisms have evolved sophisticated repair mechanisms, including DNA repair enzymes, protein recycling, and antioxidant systems, these processes are inherently imperfect. The accumulation of unrepaired damage follows a predictable pattern that explains why mortality rates increase exponentially with age, Gompertz's law. The theory elegantly explains several empirical observations about longevity. Larger animals generally live longer because their cells process energy more slowly, accumulating damage at a reduced rate.
This principle manifests in the remarkable consistency of lifetime heartbeats across mammalian species, approximately 1.5 billion. Small mammals, like mice, with hearts racing at 500 to 700 beats per minute, exhaust this allowance in 2 to 3 years. In contrast, elephants, with hearts beating just 30 times per minute, can stretch their allotment over 70-plus years. Whales, with even slower metabolisms, can live over a century.
This theoretical framework generates specific, testable predictions about life extension. Since lifespan correlates inversely with mass-specific metabolic rate, reducing body temperature could extend life by slowing cellular metabolism, a phenomenon observed in hibernating animals. The theory also explains the well-documented effect of caloric restriction on longevity. Reduced food intake leads to lower metabolic rates, less oxidative damage, and consequently longer lifespans. This has been demonstrated across species, from yeast to primates, with restrictions of 30 to 40% potentially extending lifespan by up to 50%. Recent research has begun exploring interventions based on these principles, including targeted temperature reduction in specific tissues, metabolic modulators, and compounds that mimic the effects of caloric restriction. Understanding these network-based constraints on growth and aging opens new possibilities for interventions that might extend healthy lifespan while working within fundamental biological limits.
While organisms and companies follow sublinear scaling, growing more efficient but eventually reaching limits, cities display the opposite pattern, superlinear scaling, where outputs increase faster than inputs. When a city doubles in size, it requires only 85% more infrastructure per capita, but produces 115% more wealth, patents, and, unfortunately, crime and disease. This 15% rule holds with remarkable consistency across cities worldwide, from ancient Roman settlements to modern metropolises. For example, doubling a city's population from 100,000 to 200,000 typically results in road surface increasing by only 85%, while economic output grows by 115%. This difference explains why cities appear virtually immortal, while companies and organisms inevitably die. Cities create positive feedback loops, where social interactions generate increasing returns. More people lead to more interactions, producing more ideas and wealth, attracting more people. Unlike biological systems constrained by physical networks, cities are primarily social networks, where the number of potential connections grows much faster than population. A city of 5 million has exponentially more possible connections than one of 500,000, leading to dramatically higher rates of innovation and economic activity.
The data supporting this comes from diverse sources, including mobile phone records that reveal how communication patterns scale with city size. Residents of large cities make more calls to more people than those in small towns, though interestingly, the size of one's core social network, about 150 people, Dunbar's number, remains constant regardless of city size. Studies show that people in cities like New York or Tokyo have approximately 40% more daily interactions than those in smaller cities, leading to accelerated information exchange and innovation. Cities function as social reactors, where the physical environment catalyzes human interaction. Their genius lies in simultaneously providing economies of scale in infrastructure, while generating increasing returns in innovation and wealth creation. Dense urban environments create natural meeting points, cafes, parks, public transit, that facilitate both planned and spontaneous interactions. This explains their remarkable resilience. Even catastrophic events like atomic bombs couldn't permanently destroy Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which thrived again within decades. Similarly, cities like London survived the Great Fire of 1666, San Francisco rebuilt after the 1906 earthquake, and Berlin recovered from near total destruction in World War II.
The scaling advantages of cities also manifest in cultural and intellectual output. Research shows that per capita measures of museums,
theaters, restaurants, and patents increase predictably with city size. A city 10 times larger typically produces 17 times more patents and hosts 30% more cultural venues per capita, demonstrating how urban density catalyzes both innovation and cultural evolution.
Unlike cities, companies follow sublinear scaling laws, similar to organisms, explaining their typically finite lifespans. Analysis of nearly 30,000 publicly traded U.S. companies reveals striking regularities. As companies grow larger, they become more efficient through economies of scale, but this efficiency eventually stifles the innovation needed to adapt to changing markets. This pattern manifests in various ways, from reduced R&D spending per employee to longer decision-making cycles and increased bureaucratic overhead. Young companies thrive on innovation, demonstrating remarkable adaptability and quick decision-making processes. However, as they grow, they build administrative bureaucracies that eventually dominate their creative capacity. This transformation is evident in phenomena like increasing layers of management, standardized procedures, and risk-averse decision-making. The data shows that nearly half of all publicly traded companies disappear within 10 years, and almost none survive 50 years. Their mortality patterns follow simple exponential curves, regardless of business sector or ultimate fate, bankruptcy, merger, or acquisition. Companies like Kodak, Blockbuster, and Nokia serve as stark examples of once dominant firms that failed to adapt to technological disruptions.
This biological parallel suggests company mortality serves an evolutionary purpose. Creative destruction enables innovation to flourish. Just as biological evolution requires the continuous turnover of organisms, economic evolution depends on the regular replacement of outdated business models with new ones. The constant turnover through mergers, acquisitions, and failures is integral to market vitality, allowing resources and talent to be reallocated to more innovative ventures. While a few outliers like Japan's Nishiyama Onsen Kyunkan Hotel, founded 705 CE, and Italy's Beretta Firearms, founded 1526, defy these odds, they typically operate in specialized niche markets and remain modest in size, avoiding the complexities that come with massive scale. The fundamental difference between companies and cities lies in their dimensional properties. As companies mature, they typically contract from youthful diversity to unidimensional specialization, becoming increasingly rigid and vulnerable to disruption. This specialization often manifests in concentrated product lines, standardized processes, and hierarchical management structures. Cities, conversely, become more multidimensional with growth, increasing their economic diversity and resilience in predictable ways. This contrast explains why cities consistently outlive companies. While Rome has thrived for millennia, even the mightiest corporations rarely survive a century without fundamental transformation.
The scaling patterns observed in companies mirror biological systems in surprising detail. Just as mammals show predictable relationships between size and metabolic rate, companies display similar patterns in their productivity metrics. Larger companies consistently show reduced per capita innovation rates, increased administrative overhead, and longer development cycles, much like larger organisms exhibit slower metabolic rates relative to their size. This biological framework helps explain why startup companies often outmaneuver their larger competitors in rapidly evolving markets, despite having fewer resources at their disposal.
Our socioeconomic world is expanding exponentially, with population growth, resource consumption, and technological change all accelerating at unprecedented rates. This creates a fundamental sustainability challenge. How can we maintain growth within finite planetary boundaries? The challenge is particularly acute as we witness the compounding effects of urbanization, with cities now housing over half the world's population and consuming nearly 75% of global resources. West's mathematical models reveal a troubling pattern. The superlinear scaling of wealth creation and innovation in cities leads to faster than exponential growth that cannot be sustained without either infinite resources or paradigm-shifting innovations that reset the clock before collapse occurs. This scaling law shows that when a city doubles in size, it requires an increase of only about 85% in infrastructure, but generates a 115% increase in wealth, patents, and innovation. Throughout history, we've avoided collapse through cycles of innovations, from iron, steam, and coal, to computation and digital technology. Each innovation cycle has brought dramatic improvements in efficiency and productivity, but also accelerated resource consumption.
However, the theory dictates these innovations must occur at an increasingly accelerated pace, with time between successive breakthroughs systematically shortening. While thousands of years separated the stone, bronze, and iron ages, only 20 years passed between the computer age and the information age. The Industrial Revolution took about 100 years to mature, the electronic age about 60 years, and the digital revolution about 30 years. This acceleration creates a series of ever faster treadmills we must jump between at increasing rates, a clearly unsustainable pattern that puts enormous pressure on societies, economies, and ecosystems. This mathematical inevitability suggests we're approaching what mathematician John von Neumann called some essential singularity in the history of the race, beyond which human affairs as we know them could not continue. The theory predicts we're due for another paradigm shift within 20 to 30 years, but more fundamentally, we may need to reconsider open-ended growth itself and find new ways of defining progress. Some potential alternatives already emerging include circular economy models, regenerative design principles, and new metrics of prosperity that go beyond GDP growth.
The challenge is further complicated by the interconnected nature of modern global systems. Each innovation cycle now must address not only technological advancement, but also environmental sustainability, social equity, and economic stability. This suggests that future paradigm shifts may need to be qualitatively different from past ones, focusing not just on new technologies, but on fundamental reorganization of human societies and their relationship with natural systems.
The book concludes with a call for developing a grand unified theory of sustainability that integrates our understanding of biological and socioeconomic systems. Current sustainability approaches fail to address the interconnectedness of energy, resources, environmental, economic, social, and political systems. What's needed is a broad, multidisciplinary initiative comparable to the Manhattan Project or Apollo program, bringing together experts from fields as diverse as physics, biology, economics, urban planning, and social sciences. This framework would build on the scaling principles revealed throughout the book, recognizing that both biological and social systems are governed by similar network dynamics and energy constraints. For example, just as organisms show systematic variations in metabolic rates with size, cities demonstrate predictable patterns in infrastructure needs, innovation rates, and resource consumption. These parallel scaling laws suggest deeper universal principles that could inform sustainable development strategies.
The relationship between innovation and environmental impact presents a central paradox. While cities drive innovation through superlinear scaling, producing more patents, wealth, and creative output per capita as they grow, they also accelerate resource consumption and environmental impacts at an unsustainable rate. Each doubling of city size typically leads to a 115% increase in innovation, but also a corresponding increase in waste production and energy use. The framework must address multiple interconnected challenges. These include the transition to renewable energy systems, the redesign of urban infrastructure, the development of circular economic models, and the management of finite resources. For instance, while solar and wind power offer the potential to return to an open system powered by the sun, the transition requires solving complex problems of energy storage, distribution networks, and economic incentives.
The ultimate question becomes whether we can harness our understanding of these systems to create a more sustainable future. Can we design cities that maintain their innovative capacity while reducing their environmental footprint, perhaps through advanced materials, smart technologies, and efficient transportation systems? Can we develop economic systems that recognize natural limits while still improving quality of life, possibly through sharing economies and regenerative design principles? Can we shift from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources in time to prevent catastrophic climate change? West's scaling framework offers no easy answers, but provides a powerful lens for understanding the challenges we face. By revealing the mathematical patterns that govern everything from cells to cities, it helps us see both the possibilities and limits of our complex world. The framework suggests that sustainability solutions must work across scales, from individual behavior to global systems. As we navigate the Anthropocene, or perhaps more accurately, the Urbanocene, these insights may prove essential for our continued survival and prosperity, helping us design interventions that work with, rather than against, the fundamental laws that govern complex systems.
The philosophical framework guiding West's work draws from a physics perspective, exploring whether complex systems can be understood through quantitative, predictive principles that transcend specific details. This quest for grand syntheses, finding commonalities in concepts that transcend narrow disciplines, is a defining characteristic of humanity. From ancient mythologies explaining natural phenomena to modern scientific theories unifying seemingly disparate forces of nature. From Newton unifying terrestrial and celestial mechanics to Einstein connecting space, time, and gravity, history shows how transformative such unified understanding can be. While physics has long pursued a theory of everything based on universal principles that would explain fundamental forces like gravity, electromagnetism, and nuclear forces, West recognizes the limitations of pure reductionism. Complex adaptive systems involve concepts like information flow, emergent behavior, historical contingency, and evolutionary adaptation that cannot be encoded in a small number of equations. While the universe may be surprisingly simple on the grand scale, following elegant mathematical principles, Earth hosts some of the most complex phenomena in existence, from the intricate dance of ecosystems to the elaborate networks of modern cities.
This is why West advocates developing a grand unified theory of complexity alongside our pursuit of fundamental physics, a quantitative, principled framework for understanding complex adaptive systems. Such a theory would need to bridge multiple scales, from molecular interactions to global systems, while accounting for both universal patterns and local variations. This represents one of the grand challenges for 21st century science, with the urgent corollary of developing a grand unified theory of sustainability to address extraordinary threats like climate change, biodiversity loss, and resource depletion. The Santa Fe Institute, where West served as president, embodies this vision by creating an environment where paleontologists studying extinction events, quantum computing experts exploring information processing, and physicists analyzing financial markets converse daily without disciplinary barriers. Researchers there regularly combine tools from multiple fields, using network theory to understand ecosystems or applying physics concepts to social systems. This transdisciplinary approach represents a significant shift from traditional academic stovepiping that prevented addressing big cross-disciplinary questions through artificial institutional and conceptual boundaries.
As we face unprecedented challenges from accelerating climate change to rapid resource depletion to managing increasingly complex social and technological systems, this integrative approach to science becomes not just intellectually satisfying, but essential for our survival. Energy, distribute resources, and process information may ultimately help us navigate the narrow path between collapse and sustainability.
These principles illuminate both the fundamental limits we must respect and the innovations we must pursue to create a sustainable future.